Be reading from the New King James from Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 11. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all.
Good morning, everyone. It is good to see everybody here. We do have visitors with us, and we are certainly grateful for that. We like having visitors, and we would love it for you to come as often as you can. So please come and see us again. This morning, I want us to begin by considering one of the truly great men who lived back in the days of the Old Testament. One I want us to begin with is Moses. Moses was a great leader. He was a man of great faith, a man who submitted to the will of God. 40 times in Scripture, he's called the servant of God. A few other times, he's described as the man of God. And there are many sermons that have been written and will still be written about Moses. But the lesson this morning is not one of them. This lesson's not primarily about Moses. I just want us to observe something that Moses did. And the thing that he did is the real subject of our lesson. I want us to note particularly about Moses this morning that Moses made a choice. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read starting in verse 24. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 24. The scripture says there, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses made a choice. This morning I want us to think a little bit about the choice that Moses made, but more than that, I want us to consider the choice that is laid before us. Just about everyone in this room has made a choice similar to the choice that Moses made. But we all know that making choices can be difficult. Some time ago, and I have a hard time remembering just how far ago it was, Thaxter shared with us in a lesson that he presented an excerpt from a poem by Dr. Seuss that illustrates this so well that I thought I would just share it again. I was going to do that anyway on a lesson, and he beat me to the punch. I had this poem already. But it goes this way. Did I tell you before about the Zode who came to two signs at the fork in the road? One said to place one, the other place two. So the Zode had to make up his mind what to do. Well, the Zode scratched his head, his chin, and his pants, and said to himself, I'm taking a chance. If I go to place one, it may be too hot. And how do I know if I'll like it or not? Place two must be best. On the other hand, I'd be some sort of fool if I go to place two and find it too cool. In that place, I might catch a chill and turn blue. So maybe place one is the best, not two. On the other hand, though, if place one is too high, I might get a terrible earache and die. On the other hand, though, if place two is too low, I might get some strange pain in my toe. Place one must be best. And he started to go. Then he stopped, and he said, on the other hand, though. And for 36 hours and a half, that poor Zode made starts and stops at the fork in the road, saying, don't take that chance, it might not be right. Then he got an idea that was wonderfully bright. Safe, cried the Zode, I'll play safe, I'm no dunce. I'll simply start out for both places at once. And that's how the Zod, who would not take a chance, got no place at all with a split in his pants. We all reach many forks in the road as we travel through life. And I'm afraid that there are a lot of people that fall into the split pants category. Some people will reach a life-altering fork in the road, and it's obviously a life-altering fork, and they'll set themselves steadfastly to one path. That's what Moses did. But there are some who are like the Zod and can't decide which path to take. And we understand why making decisions can be difficult. It is because there are always two elements in a decision. When Moses made his decision, he chose something. He chose God. He chose his people. He chose the reward. But in making that decision, Moses also refused something. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused the riches and pleasures of Egypt. Every decision involves choosing something over something else. And that's no less true for spiritual choices. I would suggest that if we're unable or unwilling to make the proper choices in our spiritual life, the consequences are going to be a lot more serious than a pair of split pants. Because this we know, the Bible compels us to choose. It compels us to choose. Now, to be sure, there are some who want to choose God, but they're unwilling to choose the things that God would have them to choose. For example, there are those who don't want to choose the Word of God. I want a relationship with God, but the Bible, I don't want the Bible. I've got my own ideas about God and about who He is and what He is and what He wants. I don't want the Bible. There are those who want God, but they don't want to choose the church that Jesus built. Again, they would rather believe that the church is unnecessary, or that all churches are pretty much the same, or that it doesn't really matter which one they choose. They want to hold on to their own ideas about that. Some won't choose God because they don't want to choose the things that God would have them choose. And then there are those who want to choose God, but they don't want to refuse the things that God would have them to refuse. And we see examples of that in Scripture. In Joshua chapter 24, in Joshua 24 and verse 15, the famous passage where Joshua exhorts the people to choose. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, he says, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua exhorted the people of Israel to choose. And the people said, "We will choose God." But of course, the problem during the time of the judges, which followed, wasn't that they abandoned the worship of God. It was that they tried to worship Baal too. They wanted God, but they didn't want to make a choice. Even in the days of Elijah, this continued to be a problem. In 1 Kings 18 and in verse 21, Elijah has to offer the same choice, essentially. In 1 Kings 18 and verse 21, Mount Carmel is the context. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Even in the days of Elijah, the people were still clinging to Baal as well as to Jehovah. And also consider this contrast in the choice that Moses made. Moses gave up social position in Egypt. He gave up riches in Egypt. He gave up friends and loved ones in Egypt. No doubt there were people there that he was close to. But there are those today who would choose God, but they're going to continue to cling to the world. They're not willing to give up anything. And so we have this teaching in the New Testament about the narrow gate and the broad gate. In Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14, Jesus shares with us, "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." And then over in Luke chapter 13, in Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 22. Luke 13, verse 22. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us, then he will answer to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. He will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. It's interesting that Jesus says we should enter through the narrow gate. In the King James Version, that gate is described as the straight gate, S-T-R-A-I-T. That word straight comes from the same root word as does the word strict. Think about our word constricted. And then we might also think about the Straits of Magellan or the Bering Strait. The Lord is not talking about straight as opposed to curved. He's talking about restricted. He's talking about tight. He's talking about narrow. So why can't some enter in through this straight gate? Because they carry too much baggage to get through the narrow opening. They won't let go of the things that must be discarded so that they might enter. Some of us might be familiar with monkey traps, how they trap monkeys. I'm told this is a real thing, that in order to trap monkeys, they'll put food that monkeys really like inside this metal container. And it's completely enclosed, but there are holes in the container that are just big enough for the monkey to stick his hand in so he can get some of the food. The problem is the monkey sticks his hand in, grabs the food, and now he can't get his hand out. And he won't let go of the food. He could get away, but he won't let go of the food. And so they throw a net over the monkey and they capture him. What has to be laid aside for us to enter in through this narrow gate, through this narrow door? Well, Jerry shared some of that with us from Colossians 3, verses 5 through 11. Consider your members of your earthly body as dead to immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and greed. All these things, put them aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. There are all kinds of things that have to be put aside in order for us to enter that narrow gate. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12 and in verse 1, the writer says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 24, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What will a man exchange for his soul? A relationship with God, the promise of eternal life, is worth any sacrifice. And there's no question about what choice we ought to make. James says in James 4, in verse 4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Choosing God means we cannot be a friend of this world. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be liked, but the world doesn't look at things the way that God's people are supposed to look at things. The world says, oh, just live and let live. It doesn't matter what anybody does, not really. That's their thing. You do your thing. That's not what God says. It's not what he would have his people to say. It's certainly not what he would have his people to embrace. The world says, we don't need a book to tell us, you know, how to be good people. Paul says in Galatians 1 and verse 6, I'm amazed you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. We do need the gospel. We do need what God has revealed to us. We have to have it. The Galatians had the gospel, but they wanted to choose other things as well. And Paul was amazed by that. Let go of those things. Those who come to God must come through the narrow gate. Now, Jesus also speaks of a broad gate. That is a gate that is wide enough to let men come in whatever they're carrying. Some choose this path deliberately. That's hard for us to understand, but some do. Some choose it out of ignorance. But we should make no mistake about this. All of those who do not strive to enter through the narrow gate choose the wide gate. Maybe they don't mean to do that. But if they don't strive to go through the narrow gate, they choose the broad gate. It's an either-or situation. And the sad truth is that few, the Lord says, few will enter through that narrow gate. Two gates. Most don't enter through the narrow gate because most don't strive to do so. I read about a slave who was asked on one occasion if his master went to heaven when he died. And the slave said, "No, sir. He always told me where he was going. And he never mentioned that place to me, so I know he didn't go there." A person has to decide to go to heaven. The trip has to be planned. A choice has to be made. No one goes to heaven by accident. Isaiah chapter 35, and in verses 8 and 9, Isaiah 35, starting in verse 8, the prophet writes, "A highway will be there, a roadway, and it will be called the highway of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it, but it will be for him who walks that way. And fools will not wander on it. No lion will be there, nor will any beast go upon it. These will not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there." The one who walks on that highway of holiness is one that walks that way according to holiness. No one's going to stumble into heaven. A person has to be looking for it to find it. The striving that's involved is in finding that gate, finding that narrow gate, finding that proper door. Most of us have made a choice. The thing about choices, especially choices like these, is that they can be unmade. They can be made, and then they can be altered. Suppose we're standing on a road, like the Zod that we read about earlier, and there are two signs pointing in different directions. One sign says this: "This is the broad way. This road leads to regret, self-deception, broken promises, fear, and anger. This is the path of dishonesty. It's the path of self-absorption, hypocrisy, loneliness. It is the road to bitterness, self-centeredness, and addiction." The sign on the other direction says, "This is the narrow way. This road leads to hard choices. To travel this road requires courage, sacrifice, and self-control. Turn this way for a good conscience and a good night's rest. This path leads to contentment, peace of mind, and character." If it were laid out that simply, wouldn't it be too difficult to know which road to take? It really is that simple. It really is that straightforward. It's just that all too often, it is as though those two clear signs are actually covered up by other signs. On the sign that leads to the broad way, what it actually appears, as most people read it, is this: "This is the easy way. Go this way and you'll have lots of friends. No one will criticize anything that you do. You will be free from rules and restraint." And over the sign that leads to the narrow way, most people see it this way: "This is the hard way. Go this way and you'll never have any fun. People will consider you to be narrow-minded and people will look down on you." This is the way the world sees those two signs. And it is a lie. It is a lie. Our hope and our prayer this morning is that each one of us sees these ways for what they really are. One leads to heaven, a relationship with God, eternal life with God. The other leads to hell and eternal separation from God. Again, we've all pretty much in here made a choice already. Have we hung in there with that choice? Have we stuck with it? Or have we in some way maybe diverted ourselves? Are we continuing to strive to enter by the narrow gate? Why is that so important? That we do it now. That we strive now to enter through the narrow gate. Well, let's go back to Luke 13. Luke 13, starting in verse 25 this time. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. Once the door is shut, it is shut, which is why today we need to examine ourselves and make sure we're still striving to enter through that narrow door, that narrow gate. Today we need to do that. Tomorrow we need to do that. Each and every day we need to do that. Maybe there's someone here who has never made that commitment to go through that door, to seek God, to choose the things that God would have them to choose, and to refuse the things that God would have them to refuse. And of course, if that's the situation with anyone here this morning, we'd be delighted for you to come to God today. Come to Him in faith. Come to Him determined to turn away from the sins that you've committed, the things that God says are sins. And come to Him and be baptized in order to have those sins washed away. And then you can walk every day in confidence, continuing to strive to learn more, to know more, to be more, by letting that word transform you into more and more what God would have you to be. If we can help someone this morning, we'd be delighted to be able to do that. If there's someone here this morning who's a child of God who made this choice at one time, I'm going through the narrow gate. I'm going that way. But you have somehow or other diverted, and now you're leaning toward the other gate. Don't do that. If there's sin in your life of which you need to repent in a public way, we'd be happy to hear that confession of that repentance. If there's some other spiritual way that we can help someone this day, we'd be thrilled to have that opportunity. Think about those two gates while we stand and while we sing.